877-500-5266, or once again online for our growing number of online listeners, KBOO.FM.
You know what? And that's even easier. As you are clicking your way around the KBOO website, looking at all the incredible shows that you can listen to at the click of a button, there's one button in particular that I'd like to draw your attention to. It says donate, and it pretty much works as advertised.
Yes.
You just click on it, and it's just that easy to become a member of KBOO.
Yes, absolutely. Now's the time to show your support for Wednesday Morning Talk Radio, for all of the other great public affairs programming that you depend on here at KBOO. 877-500-5266. Thanks so much.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and the time now is 9 o'clock. It's our spring membership drive, and you all know what that means. Stay tuned now for Political Perspectives, which presents Project Censored and a recent talk by Professor Peter Phillips, Giants, the Global Power Elite.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Fresen Bakery, located at 7075 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. Fresen Artisan Bakery offers artisan breads, pretzels, and pastries in the German tradition, incorporating organic, local, and sustainable ingredients. Lunch was provided by Noble Rot, located at 1111 Burnside Street, Suite 400. Noble Rot has a 3,000-square-foot rooftop garden supplying the restaurants with vegetables for over 15 years. Dinner was provided by Patton, Maryland, a sister restaurant of Produce Raw, located at 5101 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. Patton, Maryland is open for lunch, dinner, and daily happy hours and features a Southern-inspired menu. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Feed to the Fire campaign and protest on Friday, April 27th at 10 a.m. at the Multnomah County Courthouse in Portland. The monthly Feed to the Fire campaign is part of a national campaign started by Protect Our Stolen Treasures to hold district attorneys accountable for protecting us against police violence and hate crimes. Again, that's Feed to the Fire campaign and protest on Friday, April 27th at 10 a.m. at Multnomah County Courthouse, 1021 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We want a smash, crash, mash, mash, blast the system. We want to get it hype, get it live, get with the mission. We want the crowd loud, this pumping rhythm is hitting. We want to make it clear, we ain't scared, this is the vision we want.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, we'll hear a talk given by my former co-host, Dr. Peter Phillips. Many of you know, not only was Peter director of Project Censored and did 14 books with us at Censored, he also has been working on a new book called Giants, the Global Power Elite. It's a look at the top 200 most powerful players in world capitalism who are at the controls of our economic future. We'll hear a talk that Peter gave for Sonoma State University's 4th Annual Social Justice Week about giants, the global power elite. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. Who holds the purse strings to the majority of the world's wealth? There's a new global elite at the controls of our economic future. And here, Peter Phillips unveils for the general reader just who these players are. Peter Phillips, for the last several years, has been working on a new book, Giants, the Global Power Elite. In his new book, Peter will unveil the work that he's been doing, not only for the last several years, but really a culmination of the work he's done in political sociology for decades. For the fourth annual Sonoma State University Social Justice Week, Peter gave a talk called Giants, the Global Power Elite. It's a fantastic outline and teaser for his forthcoming book. Here's Peter Phillips, Giants, the Global Power Elite.
Good afternoon. I'm Peter Phillips from the Sociology Department here at Sonoma State, and I'm going to talk about the global power elite, the giants of capitalism. And there's a picture that you all have a copy of, and this is the Diego Rivera mural, which now resides in Mexico City, but this is the second copy of it. This mural was first done at the Rockefeller Center in 1934 by Diego Rivera, and Rockefeller didn't like it that he had certain figures in there and destroyed the entire mural. The mural is, it's called the Man of the Universe, and it seemed appropriate that one, the Rockefellers had destroyed it, and two, that it's about a very powerful person. And so that's going to be on the picture of my Global Power Elite book from Seven Stories Press. Part of the conversation today, too, is about the transnational capitalist class. Estimates are that the world's wealth is about $255 trillion, and with U.S. and Europe holding about two-thirds of that total. Meanwhile, 80% of the people in the world live on less than $10 a day. And the poorest half of the population lives on $2.50 a day. And 1.3 billion people live on $1.25 a day. So there's massive inequality, and 80% of the world is very poor. The LA Times reports this year that one out of nine people go to bed hungry every night. That's 795 million people on the planet who suffer from chronic hunger, and they're forecasting that 2 billion people will be lacking food by 2050. In addition, one out of three people suffer from some form of malnutrition, which means they lack sufficient vitamins and minerals in their diet that lead to health issues such as stunted growth in children. Each year, poor nutrition kills 3.1 million children under the age of five. 25,000 people a day, or 9 million a year, die from starvation and malnutrition. This slaughter occurs every day. That's the equivalent of 10 9/11 events every day in the world. Yet we have more than enough food to feed everybody. It's not a lack of food, it's a lack of distribution. A quarter of all the food in grocery stores is thrown away. Humanity is divided into the 1%, the upper 1%, and particularly the upper 1,000th of 1%, several thousand people in the very elite group. 20%, which have jobs and incomes and are often described as middle-class working people, professionals. And the 80% where wealth really doesn't exist at all. The transnational capital elite takes pride in pointing out that they have the largest middle class ever, but that's the 20%. But that doesn't extend down into the rest of the world, and they are getting poorer every day. Oxfam International reported in January of 2016 that only 62 people hold as much wealth as half the world. A year later, that was down to 8 people. So at the beginning of 2017, 8 people controlled more wealth than half the world. And wealth concentration is happening so massively that someday it's very feasible that one person will hold more wealth than half the humans in the world. The top billionaires, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, who's now the number one in the world, Amancio Ortega from Spain, Buffett from Berkshire Hathaway, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, Carlos Slim from Telecom in Mexico. Those are the multi-billionaires at 50 billion plus. Forbes lists 2,047 billionaires for 2017. These global capitalist elites are fully aware of their vast inequalities and their rapidly growing concentration of wealth. The billionaires are similar to colonial plantation owners. They know they are a small minority with vast resources and power. Yet they must continually worry about the unruly exploited masses rising in rebellion. Understanding how power and inequality is sustained can perhaps give us opportunities for democracy and equality in today's world. Now, there's a long tradition of sociological research that documents the existence of a dominant ruling class in the United States. Elites set policy, determine national political priorities. The American upper class is complex and competitive. It perpetuates itself through interacting families of high social standing with similar lifestyles, corporate affiliations, membership in elite clubs, and private schools. The American ruling class has also long been determined to be mostly self-perpetuating, maintaining its influence through policymaking institutions such as the National Association of Manufacturers, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Business Council, the Business Roundtable, the Conference Board, the American Enterprise Institute, Council of Foreign Relations, and a number of other policy groups that are U.S.-oriented. These associations have long dominated policy decisions in the U.S. government. In 1956, C. Wright Mills wrote his book called The Power Elite, which was how World War II solidified a trinity of power in the United States that comprised corporate, military, and government elites in a centralized power structure motivated by class interests and working in unison through higher circles of contact and agreement. Mills described how power elites were those who, quote, decide whatever is decided of major consequence. In the past few decades, especially since 9/11, the policy of the elites have been mostly united in support of American empire military power that maintains a repressive war against resisting groups, typically labeled terrorists, around the world. This war on terror is much more about protecting transnational globalization and capital, dollar hegemony, access to oil, than it is about repressing terrorism or protecting us. The U.S. has a long history of interventions around the globe for the purpose of protecting our national interests. Increasingly, NATO is a partner with the U.S. in this global dominance agenda, reflecting increasing transnational economic natures of our interests. Now, when we say national interests, I think it's important to kind of specify what does that mean. Robert Blackwell, who is a Kissinger senior fellow at the Council of Foreign Relations and national security advisor to George Bush, clearly stated in an article in January of 2017 telling President Trump the importance of defending the U.S. interests. In addition to protecting the U.S. from nuclear threats, Blackwell called for ensuring the viability and stability of major global systems, trade, financial markets, supplies of energies, and climate. He said we must maintain a regional and global balance of power that promotes peace and stability through domestic American robustness, an international policy of primacy in supporting and defending the U.S. alliances, particularly with Israel. So he's saying we're here to protect business. That's what it's about. The Heritage Foundation has an annual index called Military Strength, and it describes U.S. vital interests as defense of the homeland, successful conclusion of major wars or destabilize a region of critical interest to the U.S., and the preservation of movement within the global commons, the sea, air, and other space domains through which the world conducts business.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO, and KBOO is radio made by you, for you, and for all of us. My name is Liz Schwartz, and I'm here to remind you that your support, and your support almost entirely, makes KBOO happen. How much is almost entirely? 80% of our support comes from individual listeners just like you. And now's the time to step up and show your support for KBOO by picking up your phone and calling 877-500-5266, or go online and click on the donate button on the KBOO website at kboo.fm. This morning we are listening to political perspectives and listening to a terrific program, a recent talk by sociologist Dr. Peter Phillips, which is called Giants, the Global Power Elite. And this program is brought to you by us here at KBOO because we know that these are the kinds of issues that you care about and that you are unlikely to find discussed elsewhere in the media. And we know that this kind of programming matters to you because you're listening to it right now. So take a moment and think about how much does this programming mean to you. Put a dollar amount on it and then pick up your phone and call 877-500-5266. We have a goal for today's show of $750, and we need to bring that in the next 45 minutes. I know we can make that happen with your help and your support. And here are some of the things that your support does for KBOO. We like to talk about all of the warm and fuzzy things that your support does for KBOO, about building community and about preserving independent journalism. And all of that is true. But there are also some hard and fast facts about what it costs to run the station and what it costs to bring you this kind of programming. So, for example, running our transmitter and keeping it maintained and renting the translator and the transmitter is about $60,000 a year. Our phones and internet are about $20,000 a year. Our utilities run about $30,000 a year. So your money is going to literally keep KBOO going. And not only is it keeping KBOO going, but it's helping KBOO expand. I learned recently that more than half of our listeners are listening to us online. So I want to give a special shout out to all of you who are listening to us online at kboo.fm. And that means that our community has extended its range beyond our local airwaves to anywhere on planet Earth. And so that means that our community base has becoming global, and that's a really exciting thing. If you are one of those listeners who listens to us online, please take a moment and think about what it means that we can bring you this kind of access. Online listenership is a relatively new thing here. We've only had it for about 5 or 6 years, and we are really happy to be able to bring that to you. It's part of the expansion of our listenership and our commitment to keep independent programming on the air. If that's the kind of thing that matters to you, now's the time to show your support. 877-500-5266. Or again, if you're listening to us online, like I know more than half of you are, kboo.fm. Click on the donate button. If you join us today, we have a daily drawing during each day of our spring membership drive. And today's drawing will put you in the pot to win a $300 prize for Mississippi Records. So if you are a record lover, and I know a lot of you are, that would be an excellent opportunity as a terrific bonus to your support for KBOO Community Radio, that you can get a chance to win up to $300 from Mississippi Records. 877-500-5266. Our volunteers are standing by to take your call and talk to you about all of the different ways in which you can become a member. It's easy, it's convenient, it's safe and secure, and most important, you are a vital part of the community radio process. You are the community and community radio, and we need to hear from you right now. 877-500-5266, or again, online at kboo.fm.
So the empire, the American empire and the NATO empire are about protecting business worldwide. Peter Dale Scott writes in his book, The American Deep State, he describes the importance of Wall Street as the overworld that offers intelligence agencies and personnel around the world policies and direction. The U.S. has long been the protector of global capitalism, especially since World War II. We have over 800 bases in 70 countries and territories. The UK and France and Russia collectively have only 30 bases that are foreign. The US is now deployed in 70% of the nations in the world. And the Special Operations Command has troops in 147 countries, an 80% increase since 2010. US Special Forces are currently engaged in 100 missions in Africa. Most of these missions are training exercises, but direct action Counterterrorism strikes happen regularly, including drone assassination and kill and capture raids. Capital power elites exist around the world. The globalization of trade and capital brings the world elites increasingly interconnected relationships to the point that scholars for the past few decades have begun to talk about the development of a transnational capitalist class. One of the earliest works on this topic is the book The Transnational Capitalist Class by author Leslie Sklar, economist in London, argued that globalization has elevated transnational corporations to more influential international roles, with the result of nation states being less significant than international agreements developed through the World Trade Organization and other international institutions. Emerging from these multinational corporations is a transnational capitalist class whose loyalties and interests are still rooted in their corporations but are increasingly international in scope. Now, deep inside the transnational class is what David Rothkopf calls in his book, The Superclass, the global power elite in the world they are making. He is the one that talks about the 1/1000th of 1%, the 6,000 to 7,000 people, the Davos attending, private jet flying, mega corporation interlocked, policy planning elites of the world, people at the absolute peak of the global power pyramid. They are predominantly white, mostly from North America and Europe, and they are the ones that set the agendas in the G20, the G7, NATO, the World Bank, and the WTO, World Trade Organization. Now, in our research, we identify the people on the boards of directors of the top 17 asset management firms of the world. These firms have in excess of $1 trillion in management. These 17 firms collectively have 199 directors on their boards. We think that this group of 199 individuals represents the financial core of the world's transnational capitalist class. Now, if you look at the chart on the back of the picture I gave you, there's a chart there that shows you what we call the giants. When I say giants, these are the corporations that manage in excess of $1 trillion in 2017. Many of them are far in excess. They're $4, $5 trillion, $4 trillion, $3 trillion. And the total for those 17 firms is $41.1 trillion. They're only managed by 199 people, so a room twice this size, they could all fit in and have cocktails. It's not very many. And what's interesting about these, the Western governments and policy boards work in the interest of this financial core to protect the free flow of capital investment anywhere in the world and the continuing returns needed for capital growth. The financial core of the transnational class are the directors of banks and the asset firms that control this $41 trillion. In addition, they also serve many other smaller asset management firms, adding trillions of dollars and more. So if you look at the chart I gave you, it shows you the one with all the squiggly lines, the global giants corporations. Those are the 17, and they control $41 trillion, and they're all invested in each other. So the $41 trillion, $403 billion, is invested in each other. So they're all collectively invested in that this $40 trillion becomes one large, super-connected global capital structure managed by less than 200 people. And that's the power of elites today. Now, if you look at the backside of that chart, you'll see that the global $17 trillion companies, there's three more new giants that by 2018 have been added into the trillionaires. And then there's nine near giants who are all in excess of $800 billion. So if you put those all together, we're talking about 30 big companies that control in excess of $50 trillion worth of wealth. So we're starting to talk about a quarter of all the wealth in the world concentrated in one place. Now, if you try to think about $1 trillion, I mean, it's really kind of an amazing thing to even think about. the entire U.S. military empire and NATO together, all the bases around the world, all the military wars and things we're doing, does not exceed a trillion. So when you talk about 50 times that, managed by just a few hundred people, it's a massive amount of very solid consolidated wealth that every government institution, every president of European countries, all the intelligence agencies want to protect. That's what American capitalism about, is protecting that wealth. The top asset firms tend to invest in each other. J.P. Morgan, Chase, and BlackRock, they have this $403 billion invested collectively in each other. The interlock capital is likely much higher. It's probably closer to $2 to $3 trillion, because that $400 billion that we've discovered was only about 25% that NASDAQ publicly lists in terms of co-investments. So 75% of these investments are held privately, and we don't know where they are. So there are many hundreds of transnational capitalist people inside the global empire of capital, but these are the 199 that are part of the financial core. They manage the top 17 firms. They have similar backgrounds and similar training. 136 of them, they're all degreed. 59 have MBAs or PhDs. Almost all attended elite colleges. 28 attended Harvard and Stanford. The people from the 20 nations are made up of the financial core. 60% are from the U.S. 23 are from Britain and France each. 13 from Germany and Switzerland each. Then 3 from Italy, Singapore, India, Austria. 2 from Japan and Brazil. And then 1 each from Netherlands, South Africa, Zambia, Kuwait, Belgium, Canada, Mexico, Colombia. So it's international. And they all operate in the big cities like New York, Chicago, London, Paris, Munich, Tokyo, Singapore. The members of the financial core take active part in global policy groups. Financial core serve as advisors to the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the International Bank of Settlements, the Federal Reserve Board, the G7, and the G20. Most attend the World Economic Forum in Davos. Many of the 199 have been keynote speakers there.
You're listening to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, we're hearing a talk given by Dr. Peter Phillips on giants, the global power elite. A look at the top 200 most powerful players in world capitalism who are at the controls of our economic future. Stay with us.
That's right. Please do stay with us. I'm Liz, and I'm here with Dan. Say good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dan.
And we're here to ask you to stay with us and keep listening to this program, and also become a member of KBOO. Now is the time to become a member or renew your membership or increase your membership or give a gift of a membership. And Dan, how do they do that?
How do they do that? Well, they call us here at KBOO at 877-500-5266. You can find us online at kboo.fm, and we'll take money in any form. You know, we're not quite into bartering or live animals, but if it has value, we can use it. So
speaking of value and money, we have a goal for this hour of $750. And with your support, we can hit that goal before 10 o'clock. But we do need to hear from you right now. And, you know, $750 is a lot of money. We don't expect any one person to come up with that amount. But how about $5 a month?
$5 a month? That's $60 a year. That's that's less than a month of caffeine for most people. But what can I say? And maybe that's what you're doing now as you wake up. And what better way to start the day than contributing to your online community, your on-air community, your everywhere community of KBOO?
Also, the thing to remember is that You are the community in community radio, KBOO Community Radio. We're not talking to some other folks. We are talking directly to you. So whatever you're doing right now, if you're driving to work or riding your bike to work or drinking a cup of joe or tea or chai or whatever gets you going in the morning, if you're just coming out of the shower, we are speaking directly to you because you are our community. You are the community in community radio, and we depend on your support to bring you this hard-hitting public affairs program that you don't hear anywhere else on your radio dial. So now's the time, 877-500-5266, or again online at kboo.fm.
And we want to stress that word community, like co, like together, like doesn't this taste good? You and I all spell community together. It's in that word, and we want it to be in your brain. Calling us right now at 877-500-5266.
That's right. And if you become a member at the $60 level, that's just $5 a month. We can set that up for you to automatically be withdrawn from your checking account every month. So you don't have to remember to do it. We don't bill you. It just happens. It's safe. It's secure. It's automatic. And our volunteers are standing by to help make that happen for you. 877-500-5266. The other thing to remember is if you become a member today, April 25th, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a $300 prize from Mississippi Records. That's today only. So what are you waiting for? 877-500-5266. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. Here in a talk given at Sonoma State University's Social Justice Week last March, Peter Phillips talks about the subject of his newest book, Giants, the Global Power Elite. And now back to Peter Phillips.
The World Economic Forum has been getting more attention, newspapers will say, when it's happening. It's not a policy-making body. It's in Davos, Switzerland, January of every year. 2,000 or 3,000 people go. They pay, this year I heard it was 50,000, it used to be 25,000. And the top 1,000 corporations in the world are invited to send people. And they can send as many as 5, as long as one is a woman. So that's how they keep a little gender balance there. But it's not a formal policy-making group. There's an educational consensus function. So these thousands of elites in the world, 3,000 attended in 2017. They're getting to hear from top investors and top policy people in the world. The president of China was there last year. Didn't Trump go this year? I think he did. And so it's very, personally, it's very enlightenment. And, you know, a lot of feeling of, boy, I'm really special because I'm here. I'm in Davos. Kind of the same thing I saw at the Bohemian Grove, where the 2,000 plus men meet every year, and it's just all men there. They don't even have a quota for women. But they don't make policy either. They just get together, applaud each other, hear talks and speeches, and feel good about it all. Transnational elites interact as a class of people. They know each other, often personally. They do business together. They either know each other personally or know of each other. They have similar educational and lifestyle backgrounds. They share common global interests. They meet in non-governmental policy organizations and form new ones as needs arise to privately make decisions for global governance institutions to implement. Transnational elites hold a common ideology of being the engineers of global capitalism. A firm belief that their way of life and continuing global capital is best for all humankind. The transnational capitalist class represents the interest of several hundred thousand millionaires and billionaires who comprise the richest people in the top 1% of the world's hierarchy. So you may be a multimillionaire, but most of your money you've allowed a management investment firm to hold for you and give you anywhere from a 3 to 10% return. And if you have some that's risky, you may go with a venture capitalist company in the hopes of getting better than a 10% return. Ironically, this extreme accumulation of concentrated capital creates a continuing problem for investors. They have to scour the world for new investment opportunities that will yield adequate returns on capital. So they got more capital, they got places to invest it with a positive return. So the concentration of wealth and power at this level tends to overaccumulate in the hands of increasingly fewer elites to the point that capital has limited safe investment opportunities. There's three mechanisms investing this excess capital. One, they'll do risky financial speculations like the subprime mortgage loans, which almost collapsed the entire system in 2008. They will continually buy up public institutions and try to privatize everything, electric companies, water, roads, schools. I'm waiting for churches to become privatized. Well, in some ways they are. So everything that's part of the public domain, everything in the culture, is for sale. And the other big area where capital is used up is preparation for war and wars. So wars, they spend huge amounts of money investing in war machines, war protection, armies, and then they blow things up that have to be reinvested in and protected. It's a very profitable way to use capital. So Western governments and international policy bodies serve the interest of the transnational capital class, the capital concentrations. Wars are initiated to protect their interests. Uncooperative regimes are undermined and overthrown in support of the free flow of global capital for investment anywhere the returns are possible. So we've seen regime changes and attempted regime changes in Libya, Iraq, Syria, Venezuela, Yemen, Afghanistan, the Balkans are all examples of wars to support international capital penetration of the region. There were some blockages before by dictators or government blockages, and that they're seeking to undermine that. And they're seeking very hard to dismantle the democratically elected countries in Venezuela and Cuba, for that matter, and surrounding militarily China and Russia. Now, the Chinese have some 80 billionaires, and they are invested in this market. And they are part of the policy planning thing, but they still maintain separate military and nationalistic orientations that the power elite don't like very much. So while millions suffer, the power elites, they focus on seeking returns in the trillions of dollars, and they'll do this on speculating everything, like food and land. And they'll cooperate with each other to control and entrap, and this controls and traps cycles of economic growth with continuing mass humanitarian consequences. So if they're investing in bulk foods, the commodities market, and the prices are going up, for somebody living on $2 a day and the price of whatever commodity they're eating, rice, potatoes, whatever, goes up, that leads to the continuing starvation of tens of thousands of people every day. So war and preparation for war is a major use of excess capital. For the U.S., that amounts to $600 billion in 2017. It's higher this year. China is $215 billion. Russia is $69 billion. But Saudi Arabia, U.K., India, France, Japan, Germany are all in the $40, $50 billion range. South Korea, Italy, Australia, Brazil, Israel are all in the $20 to $30 billion range. Dwight Eisenhower said in 1953, every gun that's made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies in the final sense a theft from those who are hungry and are not fed and those who are cold and not clothed. The post 9/11 wars continue to wreak havoc and death in the Middle East, Africa, and other regions. Over 180,000 people died in 46 conflicts in 2014. 65 million people are displaced refugees from 2017, fleeing war and famine. And these wars are not just the results of military adventurism or political conflicts, but are motivated by propagandized ideological fears of terrorism, the desire for profit and military investment. Lockheed Martin takes the lead with profit-making in war, with $36 billion spent in 2015. The perpetual war on terrorism is good for business, and the transnational capital investment people invest in these companies. So in the book I researched, and I found out that Lockheed Martin you look at the 17 giants, State Street has $15 billion invested in Lockheed Martin. Capital Group has $12 billion. Vanguard, $6.5 billion. BlackRock, $6 billion. Bank of America, $3 billion. Bank of New York Mellon, almost $1 billion. UBS, $900 million. FMR, Fidelity, $700 million. Morgan Stanley, $700 million. All of them are invested in Lockheed Martin. All of them are invested in Northrop Grumman, with State Street taking the lead at $5.9 billion. All of them are invested in Boeing, with Vanguard taking the lead at $11.9 billion. So these companies, these big war-making companies that make profit from war, are highly invested by the centralized capital giants. That's where it is. They also invest in Coca-Cola, by the way. And, of course, Coke is the number one cause of diabetes and sugar consumption in the world, and they put out 1.4 billion plastic bottles a year, of which just a few percent of them are ever recycled, and they continue to do that. So the giants have no conscience in terms of where the money is invested. It's just wherever it can be the best returns. So if we think about part of this is that the ultimate crisis of humanity, short of a global nuclear war, is also environmental degradation. Scholar David Ray Griffin asks in his book, Unprecedented, can civilization survive the CO2 crisis? Since pre-industrial times, the temperature has risen 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit, causing significant changes in our world's weather. Just 100 companies have been the source of 70% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions since 1988. So the people causing this are a very small number, 100 companies. There's a 10-year lag between CO2 emissions and temperature changes. So what we're putting out now, we'll see the impacts 10 years from now. The rising temperatures mean a continuing worsening of weather events, extreme storms, record-breaking heats, colds, fires, tidal surges, heavy death rates, and financial losses. We will see massive fresh water and food shortages. All of this will be in our future if left unchecked. Global capital is a primary contributor to those problems, and they invest in all the things that are making it happen. Actually, the financial money managers study the transforming environment for new investment opportunities. Climate change investing can be profitable, according to Forbes Investing, and getting in on low-carbon investments should climate change stress increase. Investments in defense, health, property insurances are all good ideas, Forbes thinks. Increasing interest in new mining opportunities available due to global warming in Greenland and places where the ice is melting back. And private investment in the control of water sources is seen as an increasingly attractive opportunity for capital investment. The most important issue for the transnational capitalist class is protecting capital investment and building opportunities for future returns. If protecting the environment is profitable, then green investments are acceptable. What remains unacceptable is the spending of money on people, the environment, and services that do not benefit capitalism. This lack of concern for human betterment, intended or not, is the core contradiction of the transnational capitalist class and the true crisis of capitalism today. Our research focuses on transnational policy groups that are non-governmental. These organizations unite the transnational elites as a class. The G30 and the Trilateral Commission are privately funded, staff-supported research organizations whereby TCC elites can speak openly on global capital and security issues, moving towards a consensus of understanding on needed policies and their implementations. These meetings offer the transnational elites opportunities to personally interact with each other in face-to-face, private, off-the-record settings that allow for personal intimacies, trust, and friendships to emerge. These interactions are the foundation of the transnational elite class consciousness and social awareness of their common interests. We think that the Group of 30, the G30 it's called, is a private nonprofit group based in Washington, and the Trilateral Commission The two together, having 86 elite members in their management teams, are essentially the central core of policy planning process for the world. Both are nonprofit corporations supported independently from government funding and any regulations for them. And they open up the discussion of global capital and security needs by people with common class and financial interests. 12 of our $17 trillion company investment firms have one or more representatives on either the G30 or the Trilateral Commission or both. Goldman Sachs has four directors on the core of the Transnational Policy Group. The most important part of private policy planning organizations is that there's no government control or oversight. These are elites meeting together privately, often off the record. They will issue reports that are read very closely by the World Bank and NATO and others, but the G30 is one in particular. They describe themselves as they aim to deepen the understanding of international economic financial issues and to explore the international repercussions of decisions taken in the public and private sectors. The G30 is a highly influential institution in the area of global finance. G30 was founded in 1978. Reports from study groups made up by the top bankers, financiers, policymakers, and academics. These reports are widely accepted and usually implemented around the globe. The G30 is a nonprofit corporation funded by the Rockefeller Foundation and now receives close to $1 million a year in donated funds from various private sources. A G30 report in October of 2016 on oil and global economy reports how the U.S. fracking technology has changed the industry, making the U.S. a global exporter of oil, resulting in lower prices and destabilization of the Middle East and North African countries. We call those MENA countries, Middle East and North African countries. The report calls for the MENA countries to build more diversified competitive economies, because we're selling oil cheaper and they're not doing so good. And the report calls for strong leadership, because the regions need bold and creative governments will show the way for the youth and new entrepreneurs, encourage private initiative, and change attitudes from idleness and dependency to diligence and self-reliance. They said that right in the report. So in other words, if you're not a bold and creative government, upgrading your idle youth and complying with global capitalism's investment opportunities, you are likely to be replaced through an externally supported regime change. I mean, they just come out and they say this. The 32 G30 policy directors are deeply connected in the transnational institutions of central banks. 12 are from the U.S. One U.S. citizen has dual citizenship with Israel. 3 are French. 2 are from the U.K., both from the House of Lords. 2 directors each from Germany and Mexico, including the former president of Mexico. 1 director each from Poland, Canada, Spain, Argentina, Italy, Brazil, Switzerland, Japan, India, Singapore, and China. Highly educated group, 16 of the 32 hold PhDs. 31 of them are men, and there's one woman, Gail Kelly, who's from the Australian Bankers Association. She also worked at the International Monetary Fund. She's the only woman in that group. Very, very powerful group. I mean, when they put out a policy plan, it's perceived by the World Bank as a direction to what to do. And their members are all linked into IMF, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, the Basel Committee, Financial Stability Board, the G7, G20, WTO, and the Federal Reserve here in the U.S. These are very powerful people, and they all meet in one place privately, put out reports, and we have zero input into what they're planning and thinking. All 32 members of the G30 have been keynote speakers at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Of the 17 most connected money management firms, there's 6 that are directly on the board of directors of those from the G30. So the G30 brings together 32 of the most powerful people in the world. They are essentially the executive committee of the policy core of global capitalism. They can formally develop policy recommendations outside of government oversight. They organize behind-the-scenes study groups with other TCC elites, and they provide an international understanding of policies needed to protect global capitalism and continued growth. They focus on security, and it's safe to say as the financial executive committee of the transnational capitalist class. One organization, very small.
That's the voice of Dr. Peter Phillips, the former Project Censored director and my former co-host here. We founded the Project Censored show back in 2010. We're hearing Peter talk about the new book called Giants, the Global Power Elite. These events were held as part of Sonoma State University's 4th Annual Social Justice Week, March 5th, 2018, sponsored in part by Project Censored and recorded by Dennis Murphy of Petaluma Community Access. You can learn more and see a video of the talk at projectcensored.org. After this break, we'll come back and hear more by Peter Phillips, Giants, the Global Power Elite.
And this is the break you've been waiting for. I'm Liz, and I'm here with Dan. Say hi, Dan.
Hi, Liz. Hi, Dan. Hi, Portland. Hi, wherever you're listening in the world. We're here to ask you to help us here at KBOO.
Why? And why do we need help?
Because
it's our spring membership drive.
And
that's
radio is not free, but for most of you, it is. And we're giving you this opportunity to help pay for what you're listening. I mean, you probably hear KBOO 20 hours a day, and you just love it, and hadn't realized that you can contribute and help us keep growing and evolving the platforms our programs are available for. Please just call.
And the way you do that is by calling
877-500-5266.
Or go online at kboo.fm. You know, Dan, I learned something really interesting recently, which is that more than half of our listeners are now listening to us online. And that's a relatively recent development. We've only been offering streaming of our audio for about 5 years now, I think, maybe a little less. And so in just 5 years, we've grown our listenership and our listenership has shifted. And that's a really, really exciting thing. But it also still means that all those of you who are listening in whatever far-flung place you are still members of our community, and we still rely on you to bring you the kind of programming you're listening today, like On Political Perspectives, like Peter Phillips's Giants, the Global Elite, and all of the other hard-hitting public affairs programs that you don't hear anywhere else. And so now is the time. If you are listening to us, let's say in Port Townsend, Washington, like Jerry, who became a new member. Thank you so much,
Jerry. All the
way
from Washington.
All the way from Port Townsend, Washington. It's practically Canada up there. Thanks so much, Jerry, for becoming a new member. Show your support like Jerry did and become a member right now at 877-500-5266.
And you might be thinking, well, how much should I give? Well, everything helps, but we would like to suggest you try a $90 annual donation, which breaks down to $7.50 a month. You can do it by month. You can pay all at once. You can even bring us $90 in cash here to our headquarters at 8th and Burnside.
That's right. We love it when people come in person and meet us. We're actually at 20 Southeast 8th between Burnside and Ankeny in inner Southeast Portland. We're next to the Jupiter Hotel. We love meeting people who come in, and people do come in, and we love to give you a tour of the station, because your membership doesn't just buy you this programming. It also buys you an opportunity to become part of the KBOO production community. Every voice that you hear on the radio right now, mine and Dan's and everybody else's, we are all volunteering our time to bring you this programming, and we all learned here how to do that. I host a show on Jewish music on Sunday mornings, and Dan writes news for our, is it evening public affairs programs? Is that right?
For the KBOO Evening News on Wednesdays. I'm the sole news poet in America.
Right on.
Individual things here.
Yeah.
In,
you can become a part of that too. You can acquire the training that you need to bring programming to your community. But now's the time to show your financial support, because we can't do this without it. 877-500-5266, or again, online, because we know you're out there listening at kboo.fm.
So yes, please, please call and donate. Every little bit helps. Our programs keep coming to you. A few programs, like the ones you're listening to now, come from outside, but we feel it's important for our audience to hear them.
Dan, do you have a favorite public affairs show?
I love them all. Aww. I mean, I just can't. Hard to pick a favorite, because whenever you tune in, that's something about KBOO. It's quality and variety. Any time of day, you will find something different.
It's true.
But it'll be excellent and it'll be unique.
It's true. I do want to also mention that we have a goal for this hour, and the hour is winding down, but with your help, we can make that goal of $750. And if you call up right now, you will be entered into a drawing to win $300 in certificates from Mississippi Records. That is a not-to-be-missed opportunity. Now's the time. 877-500-5266 online at kboo.fm. We want to thank all of you who've become members or increased your membership or renewed your membership or gifted a membership. If you haven't been one of those people, now's the time to become one of those people. 877-500-5266 or once again online, kboo.fm. Thank you.
It really is quite amazing. Most people don't realize the degree to which capital is so concentrated in the world today and how few people control it. That concentration is bigger than governments. Governments are paying attention to protecting the capital. It's all about keeping capital, the free flow of capital, going and investments happening without trade barriers and that. So I'm still trying to figure out what Trump's doing with the steel industry, other than internal political stuff. But if he does too much of that, he's not going to be around very long. Because it's really Wall Street that's setting those up and making those plans. But what we're seeing, too, is in Davos they worry and they talk about the precariat. And the precariat is the working class people who aren't doing as well. And they're the ones that voted for BritEx in England. So they're standing up and revolting. So now we're trying to figure out how do we deal with middle-class people voting, and in a way that explains how Trump got in, because he was not the choice of Wall Street particularly. He got through, but the best thing he did was get them the tax relief they wanted. So they saved billions and billions. And he put together an advisory board of 15 people originally, and they disbanded after some of the stuff he said last summer. So BlackRock board, Chase Manhattan, Jamie Dimon, they're certainly have second thoughts, but their idea is that, well, he's the one flying our airplane right now, so we have to support him. But I think if the airplane flies too far one way or the other and their impacts are happened, we'll see some kind of impeachment actions happen pretty quick. Thank you very much.
Conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, cause they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign. That's why you hear the same old things they claim, but change never came. It's a dirty game maintained by rain for capital gain, but my people getting tired of the pain and the shame.
This is the Project Censored Show, and I'm your host, Mickey Huff. That does it for another episode. On today's program, we heard a talk given by Dr. Peter Phillips about his forthcoming book, Giants, about the transnational capitalist class and the global power elite. That book will be released by Seven Stories Press this August. You can learn more at projectcensored.org. I'd like to remind everybody that you're listening to the Project Censored Show, established in 2010 by myself and Peter Phillips. I'm your host and the executive producer. Anthony Fest is our senior producer. Special thanks to Dennis Murphy of KPCA in Petaluma for recording the talk that you heard today. Project Censored Show airs on over 40 stations around the United States, from Maui to New York, and all of our shows are archived online at projectcensored.org. Please follow and like us on Facebook. We'll see you next time. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burn bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fall for little boys. And the weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons build the capacity citizens. And the times for the master thief. Combine and conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Time's running out to reach all potential fame. At the table, then you're probably on the menu. We got that love, we lift our brothers and our sisters. The people together can overthrow the system. We got that love, uplift your brothers and your sisters. The people.
It's It's time to overthrow that system once and for all here at KBOO, 877-500-5266. I'm here with Dan. My name is Liz, and this is your last opportunity to help make the goal for political perspectives. And we have the opportunity to make that happen, but you have to pick up the phone right now. Don't wait, right now. What's that number, Dan?
877-500-5266, or as they say on the radio, 877-500-5266. Or 877-500-5266. Or KBOO FM. That's frequency modulation. That's
KBOO.FM.
KBOO.FreeMinds.
That's
FM.
Right. If you call us right now, you'll be entered into a drawing which is good for today only to win $300 gift prize from Mississippi Records. This is only for today, so if you're a record hound or a record head or just a music lover, now's the time. 877-500-5266.
Or online at KBOO.FM.
That's right. We had talked before about what amount should you donate to become a member, and it's really your choice. We can't tell you how much to value this programming. Only you can do that, but we know that you do value it because you're listening to it right now. So if you value it at $5 a month, that's $60 a year. And again, you can pay that in a variety of ways, including an electronic funds transfer, by calling 877-500-5266. It's safe, it's secure, it's online, it's automatic, and our volunteers are standing by to walk you through the entire process, but you really need to call us right now. What's that number, Dan?
877-500-5266. You can call and make a pledge. You can even make a pledge online at kboo.fm. We would like to give you this opportunity to feel better about yourself and donate to KBOO right
now. That's right. Be part of the KBOO community. Thanks so much.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Fresen Bakery, located at 7075 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. Fresen Artisan Bakery offers artisan breads, pretzels, and pastries in the German tradition, incorporating organic, local, and sustainable ingredients. Lunch was provided by Noble Rot, located at 1111 Burnside Street, Suite 400. Noble Rot has a 3,000-square-foot rooftop garden supplying the restaurants with vegetables for over 15 years. Dinner was provided by Patton Maryland, a sister restaurant of Produce Raw, located at 5101 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. Patton Maryland is open for lunch, dinner, and daily happy hours and features a Southern-inspired menu. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call